By the 1840s, there were opportunities beginning to offer themselves in America's westward expansion that simply hadn't existed when his uncle first started sending ships to China after the Revolution. Opportunities that seemed to John better than trade and far less troublesome. Less troublesome, that is, than the darkening clouds of Canton. Back when he was still living in China, John had savaged his older brother Robert for investing in a railroad, cutting a paltry dash in a paltry city of a paltry country. But by the time he got back to Massachusetts in the late 1830s, he could see for himself the potential that rail held. By 1843, he was putting his China money into American railroad bonds, and by 1846, at a time when there were about 5,000 miles of track total in the United States, he judged the field suitably mature that he entered into it himself. For an investment of $200,000, he bought a 10% share of the Central Railroad originating at Detroit, a line then only a quarter finished and being sold off at 70 cents to the dollar by a bankrupt state of Michigan. The investment was made possible not by the personal funds he had brought home with him from China, which were far from sufficient, but rather from the $500,000 of investment funds Hau Qua had entrusted to him. Forbes became president of that railroad, soon renamed the Michigan Central, which, when complete, would connect Lake Erie all the way to Lake Michigan. From that starting point, he went on to become one of the leading railroad magnates in the antebellum United States, building a new American fortune on the foundations of the old Canton trade. He was conservative but smart about his investments, and though he let plenty of opportunities slip past, turning down, for instance, the option to buy a huge tract of land in what would eventually be the city limits of Chicago for $1.25 an acre. His holdings of land and railroad securities grew dramatically over the decades to come.